come out for the game. He didn't appear at all the second game.
Yeah, well, they won it by 13 games.
And yeah.
Wait for the World Series. Were any of the guys that you played against the hitters or the fielders? Are there any that stand out in your mind particularly? I mean, there were a lot of great hitters mm-hmm. around in those years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think another guy hitter that was remarkable to me was Mel Ott of the Giants. He was a great ball player, great hitter. And I think he was impressive to me, of course, because he was much bigger than I was.
Mm-hmm.
He could hit the ball a mile. And I don't know any really outstanding impressions that I have for some reason. I don't know, can't think of it. Maybe if somebody had mentioned a few names, I could probably think of it.
Well, leading hitters were Jim Bottomley,
yeah.
Bill Terry, and Chuck Kline,
yeah.
Lefty O'Doul.
Well, I remember all those people.
And Chick Hafey.
I don't know who that means. Well.
He was a Cardinal. And, well, the Phillies were playing in Baker Bowl. Remember
yeah.
Baker Bowl?
Yeah, Punch Bowl, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. So Chuck Kline had a big year there, and Buzz Arlette.
He was no hitter out in the right field. Nothing hit home on that right field. In the little Philadelphia Bowl.
Yeah.
I was amazed that at the time that there wasn't something could be done about another field, because if I was playing deep on second base, by the outfield, it was, I could talk to him almost. You know?
Yeah.
It was that small.
Mm.
Well, I think, wasn't it Mantle or Tin or something that was
yeah,
on the right field wall?
Yeah, right.
Because I remember Schumacher told me one time that that's where he pitched his first game for the Giants.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, usually a rookie, they pitch him away from home first.
Yeah, right.
And when he walked out there and he looked up at that right field wall, and it was just full of dents.
Uh-huh.
And he said that scared him as much as anything else. He
yeah.
saw where the left fielders had peppered that wall.
I remember Hal Schumacher very well for some reason, I don't know why, because he was more or less of my vintage in school and
yes.
that sort of thing.
Well, he continued. See, he,
yeah.
he would go back after the season was over to St. Lawrence
uh-huh.
and do his classwork. It took him one extra
uh-huh.
year to do it.
Uh-huh.
He was supposed to graduate in 32, but
uh-huh.
He graduated with the class of 33.
I remember that. I remember that, too. Because we used to talk when we'd meet, you know. And, we were fairly good friends. We didn't see each other that often. But I think we, of college graduates, were so few.
Yes.
That we sort of...
well, I think that he was the only one. I asked Cal about that when they all went to his graduation.
Uh-huh.
And there wasn't a college graduate on the whole
yeah,
team.
Right.
And he said that was the first time they'd ever seen a college graduation, and they had it in the chapel.
Uh-huh.
He said it was probably the first time any of them had ever been in church either.
Yeah. That was a good remark.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's for sure.
You're, were you generally satisfied with the hotel accommodations on the road?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Generally, they were acceptable, very acceptable. And we were given lunch money, you know, on the road.
Meal money
mm-hmm. on the road. And that wasn't very much. It only amounted to about $14 or something dollars a day. And we, that didn't pay out too well. But they took good care of us.
Mm-hmm.
I thought so. We were treated well.
And what would you generally do at night on the road?
Well, I studied. Oh, occasional movie or something like that. The rest of the guys went out, they had dates, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They always hit me because I knew the fellows of our team were married and they were having these special dates on. And
mm-hmm.
wherever we went, they had a girl in every report,
mm-hmm.
practically. It was horrible.
They didn't take their date with them like Wade Boggs.
No, not Wade Boggs. Isn't that something? How do they get away with things? I don't know.
She traveled right along with the team.
How do they have to do that, you know? What's the matter of the man's conscience like that? I don't know.
He has none.
He said it improved his hitting.
Yeah. Who said that?
Boggs.
Oh, Boggs, yeah. Mm-hmm. You were not married until after your baseball days.
No, no. Well, I got married at 32, though, you know. My wife was going to Columbia part-time and was in nursing there. That's another interest I had in medicine. So, I got married in July of 32, yeah. That's right.
During the season, then?
Mm-hmm. We didn't see much of each other, but of course I had a proctorship at a prep school called Rosenberg or Milford Prep when I was at Yale. I took it purposely so that I could be forced to study because I was only allowed one evening a month off at this proctoring school. And, I got my meal money, $18 a month, and that's about all I got, room and board and profit for $18 a month, and I spent that on a second-hand Ford. So I was all this going around in my life. And so I went down to New York once a month to see my wife, and then she came up later my senior year and lived in Milford. So I did get married for her.
But she was never a baseball wife in the sense
of
being in the stands when you were playing.
No. I had another incident. I don't want to take up your time. Yeah, I'm taking up a lot of your time here. Another instance, Dwight Morrow, the ambassador to Mexico, you maybe.
I remember his name, yeah.
Dwight Morrow Jr. became a roommate of mine at Amherst. So I got to know the fact I had breakfast with Lindbergh and the Mount Morrows in New York Fifth Avenue condominium one time, or apartment they call it.
That must have been
that was part of my life, and that was just by happenstance.
Now, when would that have been?
That was in 32. I don't know, it was 31 or 2, and I can't remember the exact year. Because I finished Amherst, 29, he finished in 32, so it must have been around that time. And I met Ann Morrow, with the whole family, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. What was your impression of him?
Very intense sort of person, and as Dwight's cousin, who was inviting me there too, along with Dwight, Dick Scanbrick was his name. When he asked me that, when I was leaving, how do you think? He said, of course I'm amazed, I'm overwhelmed. And he said, you know something, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't talk about anything but aviation. He said, he wanted my impression of him, you know, because he was just new to Lindbergh too at that time. So that, you asked me that question, but it was all aviation. And it was a little egoistic, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
regardless of
what anybody else wanted to talk about,
that's all he could talk about. All he knew about was aviation. So that was an experience. And Dwight Jr. used to go on all the games at Polo Grounds and run out in the field and wanted to carry my glove to the clubhouse so they could see the ball players. A lot of these little things come back with me right now. I'm sorry.
It's all right. No, I think that Lindbergh might have been better off if he'd stuck to only aviation.
Yeah, right.
And the clubhouses were pretty basic things.
Yeah, very basic.
In those days.
Mm-hmm. Very basic. Ordinary showers and
yeah. I don't know if they've advanced a whole lot.
Not
what you'd call luxurious today.
I doubt it.
Yeah. Maybe they're a little bigger, but that's about all. Man, you got anything else?
No, I believe that's about it. You've you wiped out all my questions, so no, that's fine. It's better to do it this way with one than to crisscross, and that's fine.
Well, we appreciate it. It's a different story. I'm gonna look into the records to find out if you're still carried on the ineligible list.
Yeah, I would be interested. Let me know.
Of the Pirates or the National League.
Yeah.